Bears a Microsoft Office 365 MVP who knows practically everything there is about Office 365. He does stand-up events talking about Office 365. He writes about Office 365 on his blog site, and he does in-person training sessions and training videos about Office 365. There's also me, Mark Keane. I'm the voiceover guy and producer of this podcast. I'm also a Microsoft Azure MVP and a Microsoft Azure architect, helping people move to Microsoft Azure and consume it by helping them to make sense of it. This is a Need to Know podcast with Robert Crane and Mark Keane.
Contact us by email.
Feedback@needtoknow.cloud. It's your destination for anything Microsoft Cloud, including Azure and Office 365.
And Office 365.
And Office 365. Welcome to another edition of the Need to Know podcast. It's Mark Keane here. This is episode 138. No Rob at the beginning and no news. It's a special Ignite podcast. We're speaking to a whole bunch of presenters that are presenting at Ignite on the Gold Coast, happening on the week between the 14th and the, what is it, the 17th? Yeah, 14th and 17th of February, which is happening in days. So we've had quite a few presenters on already. We've been speaking to Mark O'Shea, Troy Hunt. Also, who else is there? We've been speaking to Sonia Cuff, John Liu, it's going through, Alan Birchall, Elaine Van Bergen, Jeff Alexander, Greg Lowe, Lana Montgomery, who was the odd one out because she's not presenting, but Lana is she's playing a massive part in Ignite Australia. Gino Barletta is another one, and lots more. So this episode, though, Rob is talking to another presenter at Ignite. He's an operations manager from Jade Software in Christchurch in New Zealand, leader of a SQL Server user group, and speaker at the SQL Saturday Circuit. He is a systems management specialist with a passion for efficient application deployment using DevOps methodologies. And he's doing a session at Ignite called Making DevOps Work in the Wild. And Rob is talking to him on this episode, number 138 of the Need to Know podcast.
So I'm joined here by another Microsoft speaker from Ignite coming in February on the Gold Coast, Hamish Watson. Welcome.
Thanks, Robert. G'day.
Excellent to have you along. Hamish will be speaking. His topic of the day is Making DevOps Work in the Wild. So what we might do is get Hamish firstly to introduce himself, who he is, what he does, and then maybe give us a brief idea about what his session is all about.
Oh, good. Thank you. Hamish Watson here. I'm operations manager at a company, Jade Software Corporation, which is based in Christchurch, New Zealand. Jade's been going around, for about 39 years, which I think in IT years, if they're like dog years, is about 200 years. Been working here for about 16 years as operations manager in my current role. I manage SQL Server is kind of one of my prime roles, sort of informally, I'm in charge of making stuff go. I'm also a leader of a SQL Server user group here in Christchurch, as well as being a speaker around sort of the SQL Saturday circuit. And so my team look after databases, look after applications, and have embraced, you know, aspects of DevOps to really make things go. Yeah.
Okay, so probably before we launch into it, just to clarify it for listeners, I mean, to your mind, how do you explain to somebody what DevOps is? What does that term actually mean?
Okay, so one of the things about the word DevOps is it's kind of up there with the word cloud. True technical people hate the word, and we can spend hours arguing about what it means for each of us. For me, DevOps is really about sort of bringing developers, operations together with a common goal, and that common goal for myself and Jade Software was around being able to reliably deploy our applications. And we defined it as that we each of the teams, and there are other teams involved, you know, testers, BAs, developers, operations, we all have a part to play in the delivery of that software or applications. And so finding out how we can collaborate towards getting that goal really brought us together. And so we didn't spend too much time trying to absolutely define DevOps. We decided that for us, we would break it down into the two components of it, which is continuous integration, which is more on the dev side, but operations have a part to play, and continuous delivery, which again, both teams had a significant role to play. And by combining those two aspects, continuous integration and continuous delivery, we achieved our goal. And so that fits under the umbrella of DevOps. Now, I'm sure that there'll be someone out there who disagrees with my definition, but that's okay. You know, we live in an open world, and it's how we made it go here. And by defining our goal and all the steps involved towards it, when we achieved it, we then measured against what we hoped to achieve, and we got there. It wasn't easy. There was, you know, some things we had to do. Life isn't easy. And so by realizing the goal, we decided that's what DevOps means to us. I mean, marketers and other people may have a far more eloquent description of it, but in the real world or in the wild, being able to do reliable deployment of software, quality software, was what worked for us.
Okay, so what would you say, what are some of the reasons that you think that DevOps has suddenly become such a common term in the vernacular? I mean, it would seem to me that, you know, in a lot of places you turn, there's DevOps this, and you need to become a DevOps person. And has this suddenly materialized? I mean, is this a role that's, you know, snuck up on us, or really is it a combination of two roles because there are less people who have the skills? I mean, why is there suddenly this, what seems to be much more of a major focus on people becoming DevOps or having DevOps skills?
Yeah, one of the things about DevOps, I like to state that only the name is new. And it has been recent, sort of around 2009, there was the term, you know, the term was created. Whereas some of the aspects of DevOps around lean and agile methodologies, you know, has been around for years. And another way of looking at it, and a lot of people have been doing managed services. This is where operations and developers will work together. And one of the reasons why we had some success at Jade is that when I first joined here, I was introduced to the development teams that I would be working with. And that seemed a bit new to me because I was just used to developers throwing code over, you know, the invisible wall. I was introduced to the managed services side of what we did here. And so when we actually decided to sort of formalize it in terms of, you know, we called it managed services, other people called it DevOps. And sort of since 2009, that term has caught on and people are using it more and more. And, you know, there's all sort of discussions going on out there that, you know, you'll see a role called a DevOps engineer, whereas some people will call that a systems reliability engineer. And I guess by using the term DevOps, it allowed people from all walks within the industry to have that label. Whereas when you drill down, you know, people call things different things. And again, when we were discussing what we wanted to do, I said, let's do the first rule of Fight Club. Let's not actually use the word DevOps. Let's just, you know, we've called it managed services for the last, you know, 20 odd years. We'll continue to just do that. However, we will embrace the good parts of the DevOps movement. You know, things like continuous integration, continuous testing, continuous delivery, and fold it in and focus on the things that will get us again to that goal. And one of the things we did at the beginning, and I'm so glad we did, we started off small. We bit off the chunks that we knew we could. And again, we didn't focus too much on the nomenclature. It really was measuring what we were doing against the goal. Yeah.
Okay, so one of the things that you note here in your session is that you're going to actually show the concept of DevOps in action in a real-life application deployment pipeline. I mean, what not to obviously spoil it for everybody who's planning to attend, but what sort of thing are you going to show? I mean, what are people going to expect when they turn up to your presentation?
Okay. So a bit of my presentation is about theory and just an explanation about what in the wild DevOps means for me. And I thought to balance it and to keep people engaged, I needed to show them, you know, the tools, some of the process associated with deploying applications. And so I wanted to do a live demo of exactly what we do day to day. Like, for example, we deploy to some of our development and test environments up to 10, 15 times a day. And, you know, we roll those changes right up into prod as required. And that was one of the key things. We wanted to be able to deploy to prod at any moment at the touch of a button. And I'm going to do that in my demo.
Okay, so you've talked here again in the in your presentation about Azure, Team Foundation Server, Docker, Windows Server 2016. I mean, that's a lot of technology to be showing in one hit. I mean, is that something that the DevOps is going to encompass, or can we just do DevOps maybe on Azure? Is it that broad?
It is. One of the reasons I labeled some of the technologies is because, you know, there will be technical people who will want to see some of these things. And a key part of it is around the tools. You can do, and part of my demo is showing that you can do everything in Azure and being able to realize the benefits of DevOps purely in Azure. And that for me was a major defining part of our journey, because one of the things we needed was a lot of little environments, you know, small databases, number of apps spun up. And I wanted to be able to do that at a flick of a button, or touch of a button, a flick of a switch. And so Azure allowed us to use things like Azure PowerShell and other utilities to be able to spin up environments and tear them down and, you know, test out our deploy process, test out our app. And being able to use aspects of Azure has really, really changed the game for us. Because, you know, think back in the old days, you know, we had these big metal, right? So big servers. And then, you know, about 8-9 years ago, virtualization came into play. And then, you know, the smart people learned how to script up servers and, you know, turnkey that infrastructure. Well, Azure's gone gangbusters on that, because, you know, we can spin up and tear down servers in minutes, sometimes even seconds, depending if you're just doing, you want to spin up an app service in Azure. We're talking sub-second deployments here. That, you know, that really changes the game, and it really allows us to use resources in Azure and achieve economy of scale. You know, we could, looking back 10 years ago, it really has changed, and it's changed for the better. Yeah.
Okay, so you also mentioned here some automation tools to reliably and repeatedly move this stuff into production. I mean, what sort of automation tools are you using to enable this?
Okay, so we're using Team Foundation Server as our continuous integration server. We also use Team Foundation Server for source control. And so this, again, is part of the automation of the deploys. We also use some third-party tools like Octopus Deploy. I mention that because it is part of my demo is showing the interaction between Team Foundation Server, Visual Studio Team Services. Just a thing to mention there, Visual Studio Team Services is the online version of TFS. So that means that you do not have to spin up your own server, patch it, you know, spin up SQL Server for the database, install TFS and all this. You can use the online version, and we use that in-house here because what can take a day or two and, you know, getting things running on TFS, you know, what I mean by that is all the infrastructure, all the patching and everything, you can do in minutes using Visual Studio Team Services. And it has, you know, fantastic templates that allow us to realize efficiency in our automation. Again, of the deploy and release of our applications.
Okay, so who do you believe, who's the target? Who really should come to your session? Who's really going to get the most out of it? I mean, there's a lot of stuff there for developers and some for IT pros, but, you know, who are the people you think that are really going to get the most out of your session if they do come along? Do they need to have some Azure experience? Do they need to be using Windows Server Tech 2016? I mean, who's the ideal candidate?
The way that I've written my presentation is that technical people will sit there and see some things in action and consider different methodologies, right? You don't have to have Azure experience. I consider my session kind of like a gateway to other sessions. So I'm not going to show people how to, you know, script in PowerShell because it's only a 17.5-minute presentation. I could happily spend a whole day on this topic. But people who are considering, so your decision makers, the way, again, that I've written the presentation is that if a person in management sits in my presentation, they will understand 95% of what I talk about because I don't want to get too deep into the technical stuff because technical people will love it, but I want my session to be broad enough that almost any type of person can sit in it and, more importantly, learn something. My key is to inspire people in this area because it really is an area that can help people make their life easier because they won't be spending time at 3 a.m. trying to fix code that no one knew how it would work in prod, you know. I've been in the industry long enough that I've had to be up at 3 a.m. fixing someone else's issues, and I don't want to do that, and I don't do that anymore. I get a better working life. So for technical people, they'll love this because they're going to learn some methodology, some philosophy, and also some technical stuff on how to automate and make the deployment process more reliable. Business decision makers are going to love it because one of the ways I got more buy-in here at Jade was the accountants weren't having to pay, our finance team weren't having to pay time in lieu because we didn't have people having time in lieu because they weren't working on the weekend. They weren't working in the early hours of the morning and not being at work at 9 a.m. the next morning. So in that respect, it's broad enough that it will appeal to a wide range of audience, but it's detailed enough in parts that it'll hit the spot for people. I've done this presentation, a form of this presentation at PaaS Summit last year in Seattle. And I had, you know, 120 odd people in the room. And I always ask what the makeup of the room is. And, you know, I had 12 people come up to me afterwards and I spent about 45 minutes answering questions. And after my session at Ignite, I'm really happy to do that as well because I like talking about this topic because I know it can make a change, and it can make a change for all the different stakeholders for a business.
Okay, all right. So that's obviously a good summary of your session. Now, as I understand it, what we do normally here is we would normally ask people, presenters, about their experience with Ignite. But as I understand it, this will be your first Ignite. So from the other side of the fence here, which is a good contrast, what are you expecting when you come to an event like Ignite here in Australia? I mean, what are you expecting to do, see? What are you expecting to be able to take away from the overall experience?
Okay, all good. It's real funny. In New Zealand, Ignite was always on the week of my birthday. And I never made it because I was normally doing things on my birthday. So this will be the first time I go to Ignite, and funnily enough, it's in Australia, which is awesome. For me personally, I first of all am really privileged to be able to present there, and that's something I'm looking forward to, and being able to reach out to a broader audience. But from a personal level, I am really looking forward to some of the sessions that are going to be on at Ignite, and being able to network with, you know, like-minded individuals, people who are going there to learn about new technologies, new ways of doing things. So one of the things I'm heavily involved with is around Docker, and so I'm definitely going to be going to some of the sessions on Azure and Docker. I'm always looking to learn more stuff, so there's a couple of sessions on continuous delivery that I'm really looking forward to going and learning. And again, discussing with other people, because other people will have different ideas and better ways to do it. So, you know, a sort of ongoing self-improvement journey, really. So, yeah, the fact it's up in Gold Coast, I couldn't think of anywhere better, actually, to go to my first Ignite. So, really looking forward to all of that.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'm sure that there are plenty of people to welcome you and come along to your session, because it does sound very, very interesting. Just as a way of summary, is there something that you haven't mentioned, or again, think about it from the point of view, if there's someone out there listening who is thinking about coming along but not sure as to whether they should attend your session, what's your pitch to those sort of people to recommend that they come along and really get involved with the session that you're going to be running?
Okay. One of the ways I wrote my session was again kind of an introduction to how to make your life easier, deliver value to your clients, because if we can deliver value to our clients, it means that our clients are going to love us, they'll pay us to do more and bigger things with them. So on a personal level, some of the things I talk about is going to make people's lives easier in their either cutting code or deploying code. And again, inspiring people to go back and look at maybe how to do things differently to achieve that. So if you want to make your life easier, come along to my session. And we'll have some fun, especially when I go to do the demos. You know, they say never work with animals, children, or do live demos. So,
Well, it looks as though, like I said, you've got real-life applications that you'll be demoing and real-world scenarios, which I think is be enticing for a lot of people to actually see this in practice and speak with someone who's doing it day-to-day. So that's obviously a big bonus to come along to your session. Now, just to finish off, how can people get in contact with you if they want to ask any questions about what we've discussed, or want to follow up, or make some inquiries about, you know, the session and what you do? What's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Okay, all good. Two ways. I'm on Twitter, so I'm at the Hybrid DBA. Or email, and I do reply to emails pretty quick, which is hamish.watson8, so that's the number 8, hamish.watson8@icloud.com. And look, get in contact with me. I'm passionate about sharing my experiences and, again, helping people learn and make some good changes in their life around this.
Excellent. All right. Well, we'll take this opportunity to thank Hamish for his time and the information that he shared. Make sure that you do catch up with him when you are at Ignite on the Gold Coast. I'm sure that he'd be open to a conversation around DevOps or any of the other technologies that we have mentioned today. And you can always continue to keep in contact with him via the details that he has provided. But again, thank you very much, Hamish, for your time and the information that you've shared with us.
Yeah, no problems. It's been a pleasure. Cheers, mate.
All right. Excellent. So again, I'll round off and thank everybody for listening to this episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.